Good morning and welcome to WHTC Money Matters with your hosts, Kerry Cooley and Jack Godfrey from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zeeland. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. And now, WHTC Money Matters.
Hey, good morning, Holland, Zeeland. This is Kerry Cooley.
And welcome to WHTC Money Matters. This is Jack Godfrey. We are live in the studio waiting for your calls at 395-1450. Chris running the board. We're excited to be live today, Kerry.
Yeah, I like this, too. I got a new set of headphones.
No, you didn't get them. That's the studio. I have the headphones. You are borrowing headphones.
That's your Christmas bonus, Kerry.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, nice. Chris.
Oh, man, we got a lot to talk about. We got Obamacare to talk about. We got the budget to talk about. We got questions. We got by the numbers. We've got what it looks like. People are now beginning to be cautious about the market. I don't know why, but, you know, 3 days down in a row, they're not used to that. Yesterday was an up day. You know, and you know, talking to customers here over the last month, I asked them, what are you fearful for the most? And they go, our government. It's not like people are fearful in Russia, because in Russia you get killed. Here they just take your money away.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Or they spend your money. Both.
Both.
Charge you more and give you less.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's a lot of things happening. I think people are fearful because of what happened in 2003 with the dot-com, and also in 2008 with all the housing crunch that happened and interest rates dropping. So they're fearful, cautious of that. They don't want to lose their buying power. But, Jack, as we've talked, there are some distinct differences here. You know, the news media doesn't always tell us the whole truth. And, you know, they say the market's high and all this stuff. Well, when you look at valuations of companies that are out there today, and you go back and compare it to 2003 and 2008, as I mentioned, valuation of companies in 2003 and 2008 were overvalued, and today valuations are half what they were or at a very fair value and not overvalued. And the second big thing to that, add to that, is earnings of companies today are double what they were back in 2008 and 2003. Now, I know, granted, you need to say inflation and all that stuff, but the market is in a good position, and companies are at fair market value.
Yeah, you know, you talk about companies making a profit. You know, a lot of that is on the backs of the workers. That's called productivity increase, reducing number of workers, making more per piece, charging a little bit more. Prices have come up. Inflation's still not a problem. Interest rates still not a problem. Problem we have, you know, we still have a widening gap of the haves and the have-nots, and our government is increasing the have-nots not to work, continuing to give them more not to work, which is, you know, there's a lot of people who are unable to work, and I fully understand that, but there's some people who it doesn't make sense for them to work, and if you have a number of dependents and etc., then it pays you probably to not work.
Hey, Jack.
And so there's not incentives.
Sorry to interrupt, but we have Bill on the line. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Good morning, Bill.
Try it again. Go ahead.
Hey, Bill, we hear you.
Yeah, okay, I'm here.
All right, welcome, Bill. Yeah. Haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, Bill. Yeah. Hey, what's your thought or question?
They've been advertising on the radio and TV. Have you ever heard of Freedom Planners?
Freedom Planners, no.
They work with, they've been in business for 19 years.
Okay.
And they work with, I guess, people 50, at age 50 and up. Anyway, they say they have not lost a penny of the money that the people invested there.
I can tell you one thing, Bill, it's the A word.
Mean annuity.
Yeah, they will. That is exactly what they sell.
Yeah,
100% of. And you know, believe me, Kerry and I like annuities. We haven't sold many in probably the last 2 or 3 years, but that's what they sell. They'll sell fixed annuities. They'll sell
indexed annuities.
So you know, your money's locked up for 7, 10 lifetime. Those are plate liquor dinners, senior dinners. FINRA has a real problem with people who say that they only plan for seniors. So you got to watch out what's behind the door. Not saying those people are dishonest, but sometimes not forthcoming.
Oh, yeah. I just thought sure they had a new one that they had on, and they've been in business for 19 years. And just wondering what you thought of that.
Yeah, I mean, they sell, like Jack said, annuity-type products. And, like, when they're advertising on TV, it's kind of like I mentioned earlier, they're telling you the truth, but they're not disclosing everything behind it.
Yeah,
and you need to know all the facts. It's not that they're
I got it from that.
It's not that they're necessarily bad products. It's just that they have to fit for the right reasons and for the right purpose.
Yeah.
And there's certain things behind it because, like Jack said, I've seen people get all their money put into a product like this, and they're stuck, and they have lifetime penalties on it. And that isn't always the best either. So, you know, again, I'm not saying the product's good or bad. It has to fit for that individual investor. So,
yeah, I mean, you really have to be careful of what people don't understand today, Bill, and we have to be real careful because the A word is not one thing that, but the full disclosure when you talk about that and when you talk about indexed annuities, they are not in the market. They take a picture of the market, and it could be the S&P, could be the Russell 2000, could be gas and oil. And the people who are surprised now, but they go, geez, I thought it was part of the S&P. And if you take a look at the S&P, you know, year to date,
it's up 29%.
It's up 29%. The people who have that product in an indexed annuity are probably up 8.
They're going to be limited to receive 8.
And there's all kinds of bells and whistles, moving parts. It's hard for carrying out, which I've never sold an indexed annuity in my life, so that kind of tells you the difference. But, you know, I'm happy with 8%, but the people who have stayed in the market with a portion of their money are up 20%. Not everybody's up 20% because they're taking a little bit less risk than the S&P, but you always have to say, you know, what's behind that door, what's full disclosure, and if people are happy getting 2% or 3%, but you have to watch out, too, of sometimes they'll say, we'll give you a bonus up front. Well, yeah. That's true, but you can't collect it for 10 years.
Yeah, well, they advertise if you change. Roll it over, they'll give an 8% bonus off of that, too.
You just got to wait 10 years to get it.
Yeah, probably.
So, you know, and not to say those people are, again, as Carrie said, not dishonest, sometimes not forthcoming of what's behind the door. That's what we've found, but there's other people who could be completely happy. But, you know, have those people call in today at 395-1450.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Bill, good talking to you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, it's always, you know, what is the best for the customers? You know, that's a great question by Bill. I've just not seen those products be great over a long period of time. And you know what's great? I mean, you know, some people are happy getting their 0.5% in a financial institution called a bank. So, you know, you always got to, you know, is it this or is it this?
Well, and I agree with you, Jackie, is that there's a place for these products, and I think that if the person going into it has that full disclosure and understanding the limitations, the penalties, that understands the pros and the cons to it, and they want to put a portion of their money in, it may be a good fit for some of their money.
Yeah.
But it has to fit. We always emphasize and kind of pound on that. It has to fit the investor.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't fit for everybody.
No. And, you know, you have to watch out for the costs. And like I said, you know, Carrie and I haven't sold much annuity products in the last 2 or 3 years because sometimes what they offered 2 or 3 years ago fit perfectly. And today, because of the reduction of interest rates, insurance companies have a hard time providing the assurance that they'll be around 20, 30 years, 40 years down the road. So, you know, you always have to be careful. So, you know, kind of back to the market. You know, as Carrie said, people are cautious. Are we overvalued now? We don't think so. You know, we believe we're in kind of the fourth inning of a 9-inning game. You know, we're not really got to the 7th inning stretch yet. That's what our beliefs are. You still have to be age appropriate. You still have to do what's good for you. You know, the people taking income need to be secure. So, you know, that's kind of where we are.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at year-to-date numbers in large, mid, and small cap, they're all north of, you know, 27% or better. And the biggest gainer area has been small growth at 34% year-to-date. And the worst performing area out of all that is only a 27.5%, and that's a large value. So they're all great numbers, Jack.
No, all great numbers, but then people forget that we're, okay, now you go to, well, why isn't my portfolio up 34%? Well, we typically have most of our customers are growth in income. They're retirees, pre-retirees, and they're in that mode where it's 60-40, 60 in the market, 40 in bonds, which, you know, bonds are in the market, in the bond market. So if you look at bonds right now, year-to-date, Kerry, the only one that is up year-to-date is the lower-quality, higher-yielding bonds, which are up 4-5. If you look at the long-term, high-quality, they're down 5% for the year. So you really have to be careful of saying, you know, across the board, well, everything's up 27 in a 60-40 split. You're flat or down in your bonds, flat or down. Mm-hmm. So you have to really, you know, make sure that when you're in a 60-40 split, but when people are taking income, can I maintain my principal and get 4, 5, 6%?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you have to do. So, you know, we've been getting more and more of those questions, but again, more of our customers are even a 40% in the market, 60% in bonds, or some alternative income. But, you know, another notable thing this week, and, you know, maybe we'll get some comments from that, is what's happening in the banking industry. But Chris here says, we're going to take a break. So you're listening to WHTC Money Matters. Kerry and I are live today. Call us 395-1450.
And we're going to be right back talking about insurance policies you don't need. So
stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Hey, welcome back and good morning. You're listening to WHCC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. Hey, before the break, I was talking about, you know, this past couple weeks, what the regulators are kind of proud of. You know, they got J.P. Morgan to pay $13 billion without pleading guilty. They just pleaded no contest. We'll give it to you. And what's happening is these agencies are continuing to pound on people. EPA, banking industry, is they're blaming some of these banks for what happened during the housing industry without the government looking in the mirror and saying, you know, we kind of caused that to happen. And what they said is, you, the bank, you will loan people money that don't have money. Do you understand what we're saying? And they did.
Mm-hmm.
And
they did what they were told.
And now they came back and said, you know, you foreclosed too early. You didn't give the people enough notice. Why are you doing that? That was not right. Well, if they had their wherewithal back in those days, like we all bought homes and we had 20, 25, 30% down like we've always had, then there's not a problem. But, you know, they're even now putting more regulations on banks. And I kind of get this for, you know, Kerry and I, we've been in the business a long time. There used to be a law called the Glass-Steagall Act. Look that up, Glass-Steagall. And previous to 1999, banks could not be in our business, our business being in the investment business. Banks could only do two things, taking deposits, make loans, and they were fine.
Mm-hmm.
They were really fine. But then they started to go into the investment business.
And insurance.
And insurance, and they got a little bit risky. You know, we can make these profits, we can do stuff, but they started taking depositors' money, and some of those banks went out of money because they lost depositors' money with bets that they shouldn't have made.
Mm-hmm.
With investment people making some really serious money on some cases, but on other cases, they lost it. So now they're putting pressure on banks to say, you know, you got to have more reserves to loan people money. Just go back, reinstitute the Glass-Steagall Act, banks loan money, other people take the risk and do investments. But those two should part again. I just think they just need to part. That's my opinion. And
there has been some talk of that, actually.
Well, there has been some talk. But, you know, where we've been with a lot of people is we have been using people's money to be into private equity. Private equity, and we're talking senior loans now. It's a typical Warren Buffett where they loan money at LIBOR plus 5, 6, or 7, or they take an equity position that's warranted, or they take a warrant position. And, you know, where it's appropriate, those are fine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think you're seeing more private equity lending than you are seeing lending in of the public sector, which is they're forcing people into other ways. The government.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're seeing banks having to hold harder, larger reserves, as you said. They don't have the money to loan, so people need to go someplace to get the loan. So it's these private equity firms, Warren Buffett's one of them, are acting like a bank. They're giving out loans, but with some very, what do I want to say, you know, they're collateralized loans. They're secured. They're a secured note by actual assets of the company, and you can do very good. Now, yes, there's some downside. They're not as liquid, but it's not for all your money. It's for a portion.
Yeah, and then we have the government on the other side. You know, I've been talking to people about water. We were just out in Arizona last weekend and talking about the water situation there. Still not good, potentially of running out of water. Talked to my best friend who was in my wedding, Paul, who's in Dallas. Carrie knows Paul. Serious water issue in Texas. And the government will not allow, because of the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency will not allow pipelines to be built. So we have, you know, wait till we have Phoenix and Dallas and Las Vegas and San Diego run out of water. Who are we going to blame? Who are we going to blame? So, you know, that's some of the issues. You know, we have the EPA not allowing more pipelines to be built. You know, that we see headlines saying, you know, we're going to be an energy-free country. That's really nice. But we can't get it to Louisiana, to where we have a port. We can't get it to Seattle, where we have a port. So we have to truck it. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we going to be ever energy independent when the government says you can't? So, you know, it's a problem, and they just refuse to solve some of those problems. They put handcuffs on us.
Well, the interesting thing that happened in the last 2 weeks is that we as a country have surpassed production of natural gas and gas over Russia now. So we have moved from number 3 into the number 2 position.
Yeah. Well, it's really nice, but how are we going to get that to the open market pricing?
Yep.
And that's some of the issues. But, you know, let's go to questions here right now, Carrie. We have great questions. We always try to go to a Social Security question. Social Security question is, when should I start cashing in on my Social Security? If I wait until 70 to collect, I'm worried I won't get as much unless I live long. Well, let's just go over Social Security numbers. We always, and I think at the end of the year here, New Year's Eve, I think we have Von DeVantil on. We've already pre-recorded that show. But at 62, you know, let's go back to the strategy for Social Security. I think everybody should know this. Our strategy is let's take Social Security last, not first. And, Chris, we have a call.
We do. William.
Hey, William.
Yeah.
Good morning, William. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. I had a general question.
Go.
I own a Michigan Municipal Bond Fund. I know you're talking about funds in the last
segment. Yep.
And it's down for the year for about 3%.
Yep.
And do you think that had anything to do with maybe Detroit going bankrupt?
Yes, probably. I think all the municipal bonds took a hit because of Detroit. You have to take a look at a couple different, you know, you can look in the fund prospectus of that.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it online if you want, but take a look in there and see what type of bonds that are in there. And there's probably some from Detroit, and see if you have the type bonds that create revenue. That's sewer bonds. That if they're generating revenue, I don't think they're going to be affected by the bankruptcy. I don't know that for sure, but that's kind of what I've heard from our bond department. But, yeah, I mean, Detroit bonds have caused a rippling effect because of...
Not only in Michigan, William,
but
across the U.S.
Across the U.S., because people have not went out and said, we're going to issue more bonds because we're afraid. And then you're maybe allowing other communities... You know, Stockton, California went bankrupt. We got a city in Pennsylvania, can't remember the name of it, went bankrupt. Are they going to allow cities to say, okay, we're going to bankrupt these bonds, which is you're going to get 10 or 30% on the dollar? But, you know, that's a problem. You got Illinois, that's a problem. You got L.A., that's a problem. We like, in the municipal bonds, we like high-yield munis right now. They're paying about 6% because we think those do not have a problem. If you have just general bonds, Michigan, you know, down 3%, that's still not a problem because you're not paying tax on it.
Oh, see, it's a... You know, they have bonds all over in Michigan.
Yeah.
A fund through Fidelity.
Yep, yep.
And, you know, I've had that fund for since the 80s.
Yep.
And you have to look at it, too, that it does pay interest.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you come out at the end of the year, I think I'm going to be above.
Well, that's, you know, down 3%, that's nothing, in my opinion.
And the interest, like you said, and it's tax-free to you, federal and state.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So, you know, we like bonds. We like the ones that, you know, you're careful to pick, but I don't think you're going to have a problem with Michigan. I think there's going to be some collateral damage with Detroit, but, you know, just take some time, look at the prospectus, and just kind of look at that. But don't overlook high-yield municipals, because I think they're going to appreciate in NAV, because I think you could still buy them around 83 cents on the dollar. And I think, you know, getting a 6%, you might see that yield go down as the price goes up. But, you know, I don't think you're going to have a real serious problem with municipal Michigan bonds overall.
Okay.
Hey, good talking to you, Will.
Thank you.
Yeah,
yep.
Bye.
Hey, great question here. And Chris is saying, hey, it's time for a break. So, you know, we're going to end the break. Is when should you start taking Social Security? And we're going to come back with that answer after the break.
The answer is 70.
Listen to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. The answer is 70.
Hey, welcome back, listeners. You listen to WHTC Money Matters. Thanks for joining us on this winter morning. It's cold and wintry and windy and brisk out, isn't it, Jack?
No, it's not too bad. I like winter.
Normal Michigan.
It's not normal. We haven't had this cold of weather this early for this long for a while.
Yeah.
For a while. I mean, this is good for ice fishing. It's good for snowboarding. It's good for the skiing. Finally, we might have a good year for skiers. It's awesome. I like winter. That's why we live in Michigan.
Well, this is the first time in 4 years I think my boys have gone skiing before Christmas.
Yeah. No, that's really nice. That's really nice. Hey, we have a question here. It says... when should I start taking Social Security? Well, we don't know. It really depends on...
Hold it. You said 70. The answer was 70.
Oh, I thought that's what I said. It's like when I'm going to take it and when you're going to take it and when Chris is going to take it. No, the answer is always 70. It's, you know, people ask me, when should I take Social Security? I go, 70. They go, what? It's too many people think that Social Security is the first thing. They got to run right down there to Hastings Street and Holland and say, I'm signed up. And I go, wait a minute here. You have enough money in your account to not take Social Security till 66 or 70. They go, what? And so we go through the numbers. Here's what it looks like. What too many people do is they have too much in cash in the bank earning nothing. Social Security, if you take it at 62, which people like to take it at 62 and have it in their account, you take a 75% reduction.
Yeah, so basically...
It's a big number.
Yeah, so when you take it 62, you get a lower payment. Each year you wait, the cool thing about that is it goes up by 8%. So waiting can pay off. Now...
Well, you got to live, too. I mean, that's the biggest argument. You know, my mom died early, my dad died later, I'm going to roll the dice. I understand that. But if you don't need the money, you should wait. You should look at the numbers. But there's also a strategy of saying, well, I'm going to take it at 66. That's full retirement. That's fine if you need it at 66. I just have a customer that works at Hope. She's 70 years old. She makes about 40 grand, which is, that's okay. But she said, I just got a letter from Social Security. Could you read it? I go, well, here's how it works. Is because you work, you're dropping off numbers 35 years ago. Did you make 40,000 35 years ago? Oh, I know. I think I probably made 8 grand. So Social Security retroactively gave her a check for 1,700 and increased her Social Security 1,700 for 2014 because they look at every year your 35 highest years. And if your 35 highest years go up because she's still working, they give her a raise. Not many people understand that.
No, that's pretty cool.
No, it's really cool.
Now, you know, those that wait, you know, people always say, I don't know when to start, 62, 66, 70. You know, if you wait till 70 and you live to your mid-80s or about 12 and a half years, then it's a pretty good deal that you waited till 70.
Well, 70, you could get 132%. That's mm-hmm. a big number. That's mm-hmm. still a big number. But the question is still, can you wait? That is a big number. So the answer is up to you. 70 is the opening statement. If we got to go down from there, then you have to prove it.
Hey, how can I afford? Here's the next question. How can I afford to send my kids to college? It's so expensive. The only option I see is to take a mortgage out on our home. Is this okay to do?
No, have your kids pay. Next question.
I agree, Jack.
Well, I mean, you know, going back to...
Why put at risk the house that you're living in and have a roof over your head?
Well, let's go back to tell you what the government's done, because, Kerry, everybody knows we live on a farm. Grew up on this farm. We have a great farm. However, where can you find kids to build hay today? Well, can't, because they can't work on a farm until they're 18.
And that's not because of... the farmer, that's because of rules.
Well, it's the rules. I mean, farmers are now not hiring kids. Where can a kid get a job today? Well, you got to be 18, kid. Well, the government stepped in and said, do people get killed on the farm? Absolutely, it's a risky business. Do people get run over by wagons? Absolutely, it's a risky business. Accidents happen. You shouldn't put a kid in the car because the likelihood of them getting killed in a car versus a plane is extremely high. Well, you should eliminate kids riding in cars until they're 18. Doesn't make any sense. So, you know, it's tough for kids to make a living today. It's tough for them to do college, but I still think it's on the kids. You got to get them started early.
Responsibility.
Well, yeah. You got to get grandkids to pay, kids to pay. You know, it's a whole quandary. Should you take a mortgage on your house? I guess. I mean, mortgages are cheap today. If that's the only way, you know, student loans, take out the student loans and then take a mortgage on your house and help them pay it back later. I mean, it's not what I recommend. I don't recommend you take a mortgage at all. But how do you get kids to pay $120,000, $130,000? That's a difficult task.
Well, and there's strategies, other strategies that we've talked to clients about, too. You want to go and say, okay, maybe don't go to the four-year college right away. Go to... one-year or two-year college, you know, junior college, community college. And, you know, a good example is Amy, her two boys in her, Amy works for us. And, you know, they figured it out that they're going to take their prerequisites all through GRCC, save a ton of money, stay home.
You bet.
They're going to go and finish her last 2 years at the college, which it's all been planned out. They're still accepted into Ferris. But... They crunched the numbers. They didn't want to come out with that debt.
Nope. It's what you got to do. And here's another fact is, I don't know if you heard this week, but the General Motors just, I don't think you call it elected, but put in place the new CEO. This is a lady. She's about 51, 52, first female CEO, chief executive officer. She started out at General Motors as an intern at 18. If you want to get a JOB today, that's a job, start off as an intern and work your way up through the company. Sometimes they'll pay.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll pay.
Absolutely. So for all your education.
There's a lot of strategies for kids, but many parents refuse to let their kids know that the first tuition bill is going to be about $8,000. They just refuse to tell them that. I have no clue why, but that's what it is. Unless you go to a two-year school. All right, here we go.
Last question.
I'm getting up there in age. I want to know if I'm better off giving more money away yearly to my kids or wait until I pass away and then they get it, which is better.
Combination of both.
Well, it's a combination of both. You know, I just had a great family meeting with a older couple, I don't know, 80 and 78, family meeting with their five kids. And we sat around the table and talked about giving, church giving, philanthropic, earning money off of your accounts. And one of the things that we have many, many customers do is they give money to their kids, their grandkids, because they make enough money to help their kids. And if you have a family meeting and say, you know, if you take this money out, you know, we're not just giving it to you because we're going to help you with your mortgage. Nope, we're helping it because we're going to put money in your mortgage, your 529, the kids' college. And we have so many people do that because they get it. They get that they're not going to have, you know, they're going to have so much money. You know, I just gave you an example of a couple that I worked with in Jenison. Last year they made $140,000. Their account was up $140,000. And they not even come close to spending that amount of money. They never made that when they worked. And there's so many people that make money, and they need to give it away. Give it away today.
Yeah.
Give
yeah.
more money to the church. Give more money to Zealand Christian, where you send one of your kids. I mean, give more money wherever. And still, people refuse to do that. Will we have enough?
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe you won't.
Well,
then you don't have enough money.
Yep. Well, hey, listeners, we're going to take a short break. We're going to be right back with some of our thoughts on some tips and insurance policies that you don't need. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
That's easy for you to say. This is Jack Godfrey. We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back, listeners. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This cold, wintry morning here in Michigan, but thanks for joining us. And we're talking about insurance policies that you don't need.
And there's a lot of them.
There
Let's go back to one more thing.
Okay.
Budget, U.S. budget. The House has approved the U.S. budget, and the Senate might approve it next week. That's excellent.
That avoids a lot of stuff that could happen in
automatic. A lot of stuff that's going to happen automatically. Bellied up to the table. Do we still have a huge deficit? Absolutely. But we don't have a problem with passing the budget this year, which is cool. I think that's commendable. And going to see Bill Huizenga at the Chamber Monday at 7:30.
Awesome.
At Evergreen Commons.
Awesome. Well, hey, some mortgage, or I shouldn't say mortgage, but some insurance policies that are out there that a lot of times that you can pay a lot of money for that you don't necessarily need. A common one out there that is talked a lot about when people buy homes is called PMI, or private mortgage insurance. And this is something when you buy, you know, the lender, you know, wants to protect against loss, and you need to have this type of insurance on your loan if you have less than 20% down. If you have 20% or more, you don't need PMI. So the goal would be to have 20% down and not have the PMI.
Well, you know, Kerry, we've ran across this with a number of customers where mom or dad will loan them money initially. Well, banks don't like mom and dad loaning them money. So the issue is take the PMI, have mom and dad loan you the money, get rid of PMI. Because if you try to do it ahead of time, for whatever reason, they don't like it. So, I mean,
because they're not making the money on the insurance.
Well, I mean, it's get the loan first, take the PMI for a month, pay down the loan because mom and dad's going to loan you money or give you the money, whatever, and then get out of PMI. I mean, otherwise, if you like the house because interest rates are so cheap today, you might have to absorb PMI for a number of years, but you should be just bent on getting that down from that PMI because it's really, really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be lazy. Pay it off. Next one, extended warranties.
Yeah, extended warranties are a lot of times when you're shopping this time of year, you're at Costco, you're at Sam's, you're at, you know, Target, Walmart, you're buying a TV, you're buying electronic or, you know, a large appliance. They're going to ask, do you want the extended warranty on it?
I do not do that, but I have American Express card that automatically extends the warranty.
Mm-hmm.
Automatically extends the warranty. So
that goes to show you need to know what your credit cards offer.
Well, you need to know, and then you need to call the insurance company to say, what exactly is that? What exactly is that? Because I had a warranty on a flight being canceled because I had a flight canceled this week. And I go, you know, I had to rent a car to get home from Detroit, my wife and I. Oh, no, it doesn't cover that. So you have to be really careful. But extended warranties, I have never done one.
Yeah.
Get it off your credit card.
Automobile collision. Collision insurance is designed to cover the cost of repairs for a vehicle if you're involved in an accident. If you have a loan out on the car, the loan issuer is likely to require that you have collision insurance. If your car is paid off, collision is optional. There you go. Pay off the car, don't have collision.
That could be it, yeah. You just have to always work with your insurance agent. And this is what Kerry and I do is Work with your insurance agent every year. Go to your insurance agent and say, what's cooking? What's happening? What do I need? Do a review. And you want to sit down with your agent, not the staff. Sit down with the agent. He's collecting the premium. It's sound and say, I want you to review in face-to-face. Here's an appointment. They don't really want to do that. They don't. And then shop it every year if you have to. Just bid it out.
Mm-hmm.
Go to three or four. Send them a fax. Here's what I got now. Can you beat it?
Yeah. Here's another common one. When you and I travel, you're in the airport renting a car. Guess what they want to sell you?
A lot of travel insurance. And again,
rental insurance.
If you look at that, your policy, most policies of insurance will pick it up, or your credit card company will pick it up. It says right there, do not take it off the credit card. Read that little booklet you get. Do not take this from your car rental insurance. Do not take it. It's really expensive.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And that's where they make a ton of money. Another little thing there, you know, where they make a lot of money, those car rental places, is that if you, you know, return the car unfilled, they charge you double what a gallon of gas costs.
I think this week, well, I rented two cars last week. It was, if you don't fill it up, it was $9.32.
A gallon.
A gallon. However, I did buy gas insurance if we couldn't get back to the airport in time, which we did get back to the airport in time. Didn't matter, flight was still delayed. It was $3.22, which that was in Phoenix. $3.22 was okay, but I think I paid $3.15 at the pump and had to try to find a gas station at $3.15, about 5 miles away, and filled it up. But try not to take that.
Yeah, I agree. And then there's also car rental damage insurance, and this is something that, hey, your own insurance, your own car insurance has this on it. You shouldn't have to buy that through the rental agency either.
Flight insurance, I've not taken flight insurance. It just doesn't add up. Here's the next one here. Water
you
line.
You kind of skipped over that one.
I know, I'm
quick.
So ticked off. Yeah, I mean, so a quick story. You know, we're in Detroit trying to get home. 9 o'clock flight p.m. to get home to Grand Rapids. 9 o'clock delayed, 10 o'clock delayed, 11 o'clock delayed, 12 o'clock delayed, 1 o'clock delayed, 2 o'clock delayed, 2:30 canceled. We'll get you on a flight tomorrow. I go, oh, 6, 7 in the morning, that's great. No, we'll get you on an 8 p.m. flight. You got to go to New York and then fly back to Grand Rapids. Totally disgusting.
Oh.
So, anyway, waterline coverage, I've never heard of that.
Well, you know, I have because I've seen a lot of these letters come in the mail from the water company saying, hey, you need this, or you a gas line coverage. And it's just like, hold it, time out. You know, these are coverages that you don't need, that your own, you know, anything outside the house is going to be covered anyway by the water company. Anything in the house, you should have that on your own insurance. You shouldn't have to go out and buy this extra insurance.
Life insurance for children. I never believed in life insurance for children. I see so many people take out a whole life insurance for people. I don't ever like whole life insurance. Buying insurance for kids, yeah, it's cheap. But I just don't like, you're not buying term. You're not buying term when they're one, you're buying whole life. But I will tell you, I did keep a $1,000 insurance that my parents bought for me. I pay $11 a year just because I can, and it's kind of like, that's the money you're going to use to throw a party for me.
Yeah.
It's a $1,000 policy. Yeah. I pay $11 a year.
Flood insurance. Unless you live in a floodplain or in an area with a history of water problems, you don't even bother buying flood insurance. Don't need it.
Well, if you're into flood insurance, you have to have it.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, if you're not, don't ever buy it. Credit card insurance, I've never bought that. Don't recommend it. Credit card loss insurance, don't recommend that. Mortgage life, oh my heavens, is that expensive. We can sell you term insurance a lot cheaper than mortgage life.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing how many different insurances these companies create just to make revenue. How about unemployment insurance? The coverage makes minimum payments on your bills if you're out of work, which sounds like an attractive, you know, it's pretty attractive, but a better plan is to save your money and build an emergency fund instead.
Yeah. Accidental death? Well, AD&D insurance is relatively cheap, but you have to know it's term insurance, so you got to be real careful. Accidental death and dismemberment, if it works for you, get it, but it's term insurance typically. We don't have it on our employees, Carrie, but large corporations have it. It is relatively cheap, but you got to look at it, but it renews every year.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful about that.
And there's also something, a couple of disease insurance. You can buy specific policies for certain diseases, like forget that. Just go and buy a medical coverage policy instead. Much better route to go.
Next week's show, we're going to have Mary Jo Borman here. We're going to talk about estate battles that we have, and we can tell you some good stories about some estates.
Some estates
that have blown up because they had the wrong attorney. We can tell you what you should be doing with Mary Jo. She's a local attorney that's in our office. She's a very talented lady who knows a lot about estate planning. So next week, Harry, we'll be live.
Yeah, we're going to be live again 2 weeks in a row. That's going to be pretty good.
I'll be calling in from Rochester Hills.
But you're still going to be live.
I'll be live.
All right, listeners, have a great weekend and enjoy the holiday season with your family. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. Be careful out there.
You've been listening to WHTC Money Matters with your hosts, Jack Godfrey and Kerry Cooley from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zealand. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Be sure to join us next Saturday at the same time for WHTC Money Matters on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.